was at Pride and I saw this person, young person, sitting on a bench alone. And my friends and I wanted this person to not be alone and went over and said hello. And they joined us for a little while and chatted for a little while. And that was that. Later in that day, I met them again and we talked a little bit, discovered that we were from nearby hometowns. And then for reasons I don't really understand, we felt really connected and decided to get together again sometime. All of that is not super unusual for me. I spend a fair amount of time meeting people, especially young people, and getting to know them. But this one just felt a little bit different. I wouldn't say I felt anything like a familiar sense of attraction, but I definitely wanted to get to know this person who seemed kind of unusual and was using a name that didn't fit at all and that I'm not going to use because they no longer do. So we hung out a little bit, and that's when they started talking about their gender to me, and here's also where I switch pronouns because Z asked me to start using Z and here. Z recently started using them and defining as a non-binary trans person, and this showed up early in one of our conversations. I had always... not always, but generally considered myself a lesbian, not spent a lot of time attracted to anyone who wasn't a woman. And then here I was having this interesting sense of attraction to this person who was not a woman. So that was interesting to me. And we talked about it pretty much right up front, even before we admitted that we were maybe dating. We spent a day together, sitting on a fountain and talking about important things and talking about gender. This was one of the first people I'd ever sat down and really talked to about what it meant to not fit within the gender binary. So that was pretty cool for me, too. I also hadn't had any experience actually using other pronouns. So, and I got really used to it over the course of that year. After a few days of spending an occasional hour or two or six talking, one night we were sitting on the edge of an amphitheater in the dark. We had just gone walking through an arboretum in the middle of the night, and this sweet, it turns out remarkably innocent, person had let me know, like, this is where people come to make out. And I was thinking, do they? Do they really? And you brought me here for reasons unknown. It was hilarious. It turned out that Z was like 15 years younger than me, which we didn't realize, an adult but a young one. And both of us, I had thought that Z was older, Z had thought that I was younger. So we both thought that there was a much smaller gap. And pretty inexperienced with dating of any kind. And that was, so there were a lot of little moments that were just hilarious. Like that night at the amphitheater when Z was looking off into the distance and then said, I wish there was a word for when you really, really like someone and you want to spend a lot more time with them and get to know them better. And I said, yeah, that would be great. And in my head, I thought, like, there is. It's called dating. I think we're doing it right now. And I think that categorizes a lot of what our relationship was like. I had a lot of, like, moments when Z would say something and I would be like, oh, really? Really? Okay, hold on. And then I would try to decide, like, if I say the thing in my head right now, am I going to spook this young person who's trying to figure this out? Her name was Thaddeus, is Thaddeus. And when Z first told me that name, I said, wow, that's a big name for not a huge person. And that really was my reaction. Z was like little and cute and then Thaddeus. And Z was like, well, if you want, you could call me Tad. So I do. I now use Tad and Thaddeus. And at some point, I'm not the only one who did this, but Z became Tadpole. It was all just affection. And our relationship developed slowly. I talked to some folks about it. I was so much older, so much more experienced. I really loved spending time with her, but I didn't want to be doing anything that could harm this like fragile person who was sort of figuring a lot of things out. I had one dear friend who was like, do you think Z is going to find anyone her own age who can be this patient? I'm like, okay, point. Good point. And so we continued seeing each other. I was poly at the time, and I had a partner who did not handle this relationship super well, which was frequently frustrating, but very separate from my relationship with Tad, which involved a lot of handholding, a lot of trying new things together, like foods that Z had never had, walking through the woods, coming up with poetry together or images that meant a lot to both of us. And we had a thing for a while where we came up with impossible dreams, a little hobbit hole bed and breakfast that we would run, like things we knew weren't real, but that were incredibly fun to create these beautiful fantasies. So as a relationship, it had all this sort of magic and poetry, and it was forever before we even kissed. And hilarious when it happened, because the first thing Z said was, "Lips are like pudding in hot dog skins." That was my birthday. You know, it helped to be in my 30s, because it was just funny and cute. And later there were more kisses and things along those lines, but it was always a gentle kind of exploration. Z did not like being touched initially at all by anyone, and so my part of the physical part of our relationship was basically earning intimacy, like being a trustworthy enough person that this person would actually want to hold my hand or lean on me or nap with me. Somewhere along the way, they figured out that they're ace, which was helpful in many ways, because it stopped being about, like, are you actually attracted to me? And started being about, like, do you experience attraction? And in what way? And kind of helped. We went on trips together. We would cuddle and sleep together sometimes. Touch was always special, because it was never, ever a default. It was something that Z never did unthinkingly, and still doesn't do unthinkingly. We were together for a year, and I got to see a whole lot of Tad getting her feet under her, figuring out how to use her voice, graduating from college. Both of us thought we were together for 2 years, so about a year ago, I couldn't make the timeline work. Like, Tadpole, how long did we date? And Tad was like, 2 years. And it wasn't. It was one. It felt longer. We didn't split up for any particularly difficult reasons. Z had other things going on in life, and it kind of felt like the relationship we were having had done what it needed to do. Tad, I think, learned a lot about being accepted by somebody. I tried anyway, and was able to deal with some really difficult feelings Z had never had the opportunity to before. And I just got to have this person whose trust was earned and immense and beautiful, and who was incredibly good at helping me recharge from the other things going on in my life. Tadpole became a safe place for me. I would go over at 6 a.m. before my job that started at like 9 or 10, and I would go over and we would go to the grocery store at 6 a.m. and buy food, and we'd go back to her apartment and I'd cook breakfast, and we'd eat breakfast together, and then we would take like a nap before I had to go to work. We did that every Sunday for most of a year. I loved our Sundays. It was a hard relationship for people outside it to understand. People in public thought, like, Tad was my son a lot. Because if you don't know who you're looking at, Z could at the time absolutely pass for a 12-year-old boy. So, and there was a lot of, like, why is that lesbian holding hands with her son kind of conversation. Or people would be like, hey there, little man, to Tad. I think it was pretty obvious from the start that our lives were going to move in different directions, that we weren't, like, neither one of us went into this thinking, like, you will be my partner in this way forever. I think we did assume pretty quickly, like, you will be in my life forever. That they're just really cool, and they felt the same way about me, and the amount of trust that we developed is not something that you let go of easily. So Z is still in my life. But yeah, we always knew that if this was romantic, which for a while we couldn't actually decide if that was a thing, if this was a romantic relationship, we both knew it just wasn't going to be that one long-term partner, which isn't something I was looking for and isn't something Z was looking for. But we both would feel that urge, like beautiful, lovey moments, we would both want to say things about the future or forever, which is why we started inventing our impossible fantasies. Because that way we could indulge those feelings without ever telling ourselves things we knew weren't true.
This episode, in which I spoke with a very special person named Evan, was the last episode of Edges. Will there be more one day? I don't know yet, but never say never. In the meantime, within these 10 episodes, I've accomplished what I intended. Giving people of many different walks of life a platform, starting to learn how to be an interviewer, taking a major project from start to finish entirely on my own, and thinking about how I experience love. I want to thank you so much for listening and coming on this journey with me. I would also be remiss if I didn't thank the various people I spoke to whose interviews did not ultimately make it onto the show. I learned so much from speaking to you, and your stories meant a lot to me. Thank you for sharing them. And as always, I have to thank my $10 Patreon supporters, Angel Acevedo, Benjamin Redman, Caroline Seidman, Colby Rowan, Danielle Pollock, Freya, Garrett M., Jack, Red L., and Reese. Without you, I couldn't have made this happen, so thank you on behalf of not only myself, but everyone for whom these interviews have meant something. You can still support Edge's podcast and my continued work on Patreon. In fact, if you do, you'll be increasing the likelihood that I'll produce more work of this nature. Just go to patreon.com/edgespodcast. That's patreon.com/edgespodcast. You'll have access to all the bonus content that's been created for the show, plus you'll be helping to keep the episodes online for longer. And now for your tweets. Mana, at Sweaterspoons, says, I'm going to miss Edge's podcast. I'm genuinely super grateful for its existence. It's given me so much to think about every episode. I really feel like a better, smarter person for having gotten to listen. Annie, at Annie's and Annie, says, I love Edge's podcast with all my soul. Listening to the last episode with Ryan made my little ace heart feel not so alone. In general, this podcast is probably the reason I started experimenting with my gender. Thank you so much. Robin Kajnia, at Rudzik Art, says, Edge's podcast is like having one of those deep personal conversations at a sleepover with your friend that's also queer. You relate very deeply with some stuff, but some is entirely new and interesting to you both. In the end, it leaves you with a warm feeling of being understood. VJ, at NW Ferry, says, Edges has felt so raw and powerful. It's so amazing to hear about others' experiences and how we are all just kind of fragile pieces of glass in a harsh world. But we still sparkle, even when chipped. The Edges logo is by Alice Chung, and original music is by Ryan Vibert. Edges podcast is created and produced by me, Sophie Kater.